Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. If only they had been the final words on that day. But instead, people questioned if it were really Joseph's son speaking to them. Their doubt demands clarification and breaks Jesus' silence. Just after the Second Vatican Council wrapped up in the 1960s, Simon and Garfunkel released a smash hit entitled The Sound of Silence. From its verses, the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said, "The words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and tenement halls." Not the most attractive places, but a real interesting lyric. In these days of troubling economic times, what indeed has become of our prophets? Not the prophets of balance sheets and ledgers, or the kind with which corporations and accountants work, and certainly not the business of psychics and fortune tellers, but rather the appointed office dedicated to sharing God's word. We still have subway walls, but entrusted to our care are an entire section of Holy Scripture dedicated to 4, 6 major and 12 minor prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel are like envelopes bearing 4 canonical gospels. These prophetic manuscripts, together with oral tradition, are the product of God's communication ministry. That is, the institution into which God calls and appoints successive individuals to receive and transmit eternal life-giving messages. The prophets are, in essence, God's spokespeople. The communications they receive comes in the form of visions, dreams, ecstasies, and are to be forwarded via speech, writings, and deeds. The office of prophet wasn't necessarily permanent or hereditary, but instead was a direct and dependent call to proclaim a timely message. Prophets of Scripture denounced idolatry, defended moral law, offered counsel in political and private matters, expressed judgment, yes, judgment, of people's conduct, taught sublime truths, and suggested lofty morals. Their words contained threats, announcements, and promises, and were always focused with great anticipation on the Messiah. That is God's ultimate word made flesh. Know anybody doing that today? We learn even the unborn may be appointed prophets, as was so with Jeremiah. We also uncover fulfilling this scripture will necessarily deliver us into the middle of even public controversy. Foreign policy, medical ethics, and education, just a few of the arenas. It seems, though, people and some governments prefer silent prophets. And by silent, I mean dead. Those ones don't cause us any trouble. They've said all they're going to say. But friends, no amount of lapsed time will ever bring silence, because God's faithfulness is ageless. The real enemy is a complacent mind and a hardened heart. God's prophets continue to disturb our conscience and stir our souls. And still, so many of us prefer to leave their words alone. In today's gospel, we discover Jesus on a little homecoming trip. He's returned to Nazareth from the shores of Galilee. People here know his parents, his grandparents, cousins, uncles, and aunts. But this complacent Nazarene crowd is about to be shaken to its very core. Maybe they don't know their native son now quite as well as they first thought. Jesus isn't doing as much carpentry any longer. People see he has changed focus. He is now on a path fully engaged in bringing God's salvation plan forward. While reading from the well-known book of Isaiah, Jesus tells the assembly the moment of truth and fulfillment has arrived and is standing before their very eyes. We didn't see that coming, many would have thought. We just came to church like we always do. What's really going on here? Could it be? We don't know Jesus as well as we think either. We may know of him, like we know the name of another, but that's never the same as knowing a person with whom we are in love. By referencing two of Israel's great prophets, Jesus serves notice he too is intimately connected with God's prophetic office, is in fact its author and its exemplar par excellence. Remember Elijah sent to do battle with the false prophets of Baal? Elijah didn't really enjoy much success either in a world that had forsaken the covenant, torn up the altars, and were repeatedly putting God's holy prophets to the sword. Still, in the end, it is Elijah who is taken up to heaven. Elisha, his successor, was also known to have worked great miracles, notably the cleansing of Naaman's leprosy. In sharing these stories, our Lord is communicating common knowledge. Anyone seated in a synagogue in Nazareth on the Sabbath would have easily seen Jesus installing himself into Israel's historic and illustrious prophetic fold. And that's enough to ignite the crowd's fury. How a normally good-natured and law-abiding group suddenly become so indignant by a replay of their own story. Why are these memories and flashbacks just a little too loud to ignore this time? Are there skeletons of infidelity people would prefer be left in closets? It's probably even harder to accept one of their very own is calling them out. But who else could? That's what prophets do. What disturbs is that Jesus is basically telling them point blank, not a lot has really changed from the time of the early prophets. This Nazarene crowd turns the snap of a finger from welcome home hugs and kisses into a raging mob. Jesus gives them the slip. But it won't be quite so easy on the Mount of Olives when another kiss comes our Lord's way. We have to wonder, folks, if today we're listening to the gospel and following the church's teaching any better than a Nazarene crowd. I even wonder if today it isn't we who more often try to give Jesus the slip, silencing God's voice with our noise, clutter, and indifference. Besides, if we need a prophet or prophetess, we'll find a quiet one on Google who says exactly what we want to hear. In an age of mass communication, who speaks on today's issues of faith and human development? I know a trip across the channel guide on a Sunday morning might suggest too many. Brothers and sisters, test everything you are told against what the Gospels say and the church teaches. And if the poet is a people's voice, prophets carry God's melody into the depths of our very soul. In baptism, Christians have been enrolled and anointed to serve as God's prophetic voice, filled with power of the Holy Spirit to stand boldly before the world, saying, "This scripture is being fulfilled as we speak." We are to be a people well-informed, careful listeners, and always ready to speak out on matters of justice and truth, speaking when we do with conviction and acting with mercy in ways that show the world God's voice cannot be driven over the edge, and without any doubt is alive and well.